It's time for High Plains Public Radio's weekly program, Growing on the High Plains. Here's Skip.
One of the most popular fruits, the pear was recognized by the ancient Greek poet Homer as being a gift of the gods. The Romans also prized them, but would not eat them raw. Rather, they served them stewed in honey or baked into a spiced patina or soufflé. Most pears can be categorized into two basic groups, originating either from Europe or from Asia. A basic difference in the two types concerned texture. European pears were softer, sweeter, and more buttery, while Asian pears were somewhat grainy in consistency, but were less likely to bruise and spoil. For many years, the Bartlett pear was the leader in the European pear market, though many new varieties are now available, especially for the home grower. Our more recent global marketing abilities have also made Asian pears much more available in the U.S. Years ago, we planted two pear trees as a part of a fledgling orchard at our place. One succumbed to a dose of 2,4-D administered by accident from a crop duster's plane. But the other tree survived, and after some judicious pruning to remove multiple trunks and branches caused by the chemical contact, it bloomed profusely and has been producing fruit for us every year since. It is a kefir pear tree, not very well known and not the most popular pear in the books. It was recommended by a wise old nurseryman in the Oklahoma Panhandle who knew the hard times associated with growing anything on these high and dry plains, much less producing a fruit crop on a regular basis. Kefir pear is a cross between the European and Asian pears, and probably that's one reason it has been so successful for us. We pick the fruit in late August while it's still firm and a bit green. We wrap each piece in newspaper and store it in the pantry or basement for a few days. The final ripened product is a combo of soft, sweet Bartlett taste with just a bit of gritty Asian pear substance. We learned early on that pears left to ripen on the branch will have a brown, soft center that has to be discarded. The kefir blooms later than a peach, but earlier than an apple, so it fits in well with our usual hard freeze warning schedule, and its harvest time works well with the demands of putting up other fruit. But one of the main reasons we were advised to plant the kefir had to do with a primary difficulty in raising pears, and that is fire blight disease. Looking much like the name implies, pear trees inflicted with fire blight show blackened blossoms and leaf tips, followed by foliage that looks scorched before drying up and dying. Pruning and burning the afflicted branches may slow the disease, but will not stop it. Kefirs are highly resistant to fire blight. In the over 30 years we have had this good old tree, it has never shown any sign of an infestation. Another good thing about pear trees in general, and kefirs in particular, is their ability to thrive with moderate soil nutrients and water. I have been told that many of the pear trees still standing at old abandoned farmsteads are kefirs, which have a lifespan of up to 75 years. So I think for the foreseeable future, I'll have enough pears to put up an annual supply of an incredibly good pear conserve made with apricots and lemon peels. I'd be glad to share the recipe if you want to contact me on the HPPR website.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and narrated by Skip Mancini, and it's produced by Brian Burrell. To hear more Growing on the High Plains, visit hppr.org.